Today on Real Life Radio.
You and I can choose right now in financial woe, in earthquakes, and in all kinds of things, that we can choose now to walk with God just as though our feet would join up with our hearts in heaven forever as it shall be. We can walk in the reality of heaven now.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled Our New Home. You know, in every civilization and culture throughout history, there's one thing that connects us. It's the strong desire to know what's waiting for us on the other side. You see, heaven's been given many titles, but by any other name, it is where God lives. And for the true follower of Jesus Christ, it'll be our new eternal home, a place that we desire and is full of hope, and the anticipation of its splendor is what marks a Christian life. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our God is a God of detail, and our heavenly home, it's going to be beautiful. A place of worship, filled with light as Jesus Christ himself is the light. Someday, everyone will hear a call from heaven, and we need to be ready. Now in his message called Our New Home, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
God prepared enough room for every human that was ever born, knowing that every human could have the opportunity to accept Christ. Will every human that's ever been born go to heaven? No. But why will they miss heaven? Because they choose to obey themselves. They choose to reject Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, says the Bible. Does the Bible teach there will be those who will enter hell? Yes. Based upon what? Having rejected Christ. But does it not bring your heart to tears that God prepared enough room for everybody, but there will not be the fact that everyone's there? There's nothing worse than to plan a joyous event and nobody shows up. Jesus said concerning heaven, I invited the children of Israel. They said, no, go then out into the highways and the byways, remember, and call to all, anyone who listen, and bid them to come. For those who were invited did not come, but I will invite all so that my Father's house might be filled. And the Bible says, and this Jesus spoke this parable unto the people. God wants you in heaven. Why would you not be there? There was a room prepared for you, a great and wonderful place. We're looking at it, but you refused. He sent you an invitation, not only one, but over and over again, sometimes through announcements, sometimes maybe through a program, sometimes maybe right now in church, sometimes through friends or family or strangers, maybe a billboard alongside the freeway. Maybe you were scanning your radio and it came to an announcement on a radio or a Billy Graham crusade or whatever it might have been, and you just blew them off. He sent invitation after invitation. You stubbed your toe. You saw that graveyard. You had that incident in your life. And you wondered for a moment, God, are you real? But you just pressed on and you forgot him. What if the size of this grand and awesome city indicates to me that God wanted you there and he prepared a place for you? And if you miss it, it's not because God failed. You failed yourself. You removed yourself right out of his hands of grace and mercy. Why on earth and why in hell would you do such a thing when God has prepared heaven for you? What a grand and glorious 1,500 miles square, grand enough for all to enter in, but all would not have him. Fourth point in our study this morning, verses 18 to 21 is this. Verses 18 to 21, our new home, our heavenly home will be beautiful. It will be beautiful. And keep in mind as we go through this, that in Exodus 39, the Lord told Moses to make and to have made the ephod. Remember the ephod that the high priest wore of the 12 gems that represented the 12 tribes of Israel? All these stones that are mentioned, the priest was to wear into the presence of God in the tabernacle or in Solomon's temple on his chest, the 12 stones representing each of them, the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember that? Remember the stones? Listen to how our God is into detail. Watch this, how beautiful it is. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. Remember, all of these are of its color, but opaque or light will transport or translate through it. The third, chalcedon. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardon or sardonyx. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophras. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. 12 stones, 12 foundations, ascending up 1,500 miles. Glorious. What does this tell us? In verses 18 to 20, it speaks about the materials used. No doubt the materials used speaks of us, of his love. All of these things. How do we know that? You say, Jack, that's a stretch. No, wait a minute. When you've got the high priest in the Old Testament coming before God, representing salvation and intercession of the saints before the dwelling of God in the tabernacle, now you've got 12 stones represented in eternity forever. God speaking that he has wanted our hearts, he's wanted our souls, he's wanted us with him, and there's representation. The Bible says in the book of Romans that Jesus Christ, and he uses a legal term, Jesus Christ is our advocate, our great high priest. Isn't that good news? I love it. Very, very exciting. Well, also verse 21 tells us that the effect of the city speaks of his joy, not only his love, but his joy. In verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate, that's 12 of them, was of pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. This is impossible for us to imagine. By the way, when the Bible says things like this, you understand we're talking about heaven. You know, I don't get it. Well, we're not supposed to get it exactly. You can't get it. I'm not kidding. I read a book. It's about 230 years old this week, and it was a commentator. I don't know what he was thinking, but he wasn't thinking right in my eyes. He reads verse 21, and he says, obviously, heaven is just going to be purely metaphorical. Look, I don't know about you, but how about going out today if you're hungry? This is for service, right? You guys hungry? You're going to go out after service. How about you metaphorically having breakfast? How about everybody enjoy themselves, but we're going to put a plate in front of you and we're going to say, why don't you eat up? And there's nothing on it. Metaphorically, it is your breakfast. You're going to say metaphorically, you're nuts because I'm going to eat. Okay, listen, are we going to heaven or are we not? We are. This commentator said, this is ridiculous because everybody knows that there has never been a pearl big enough created by an oyster. What was that? What was that? Woo! The glory of God. You guys, weren't we just talking last Wednesday night about an earthquake? We were due. You know what? By the punch of that, that must have been kind of close. Anyway, let's keep going. Man, are you ready to go to heaven? Yeah. You better be. If you don't know Jesus, these are big walls that could come tumbling down. You do. You do need to make sure you know Christ right now. It speaks of his joy. These incredible details that God has given. Think about that. The wonderful of it. And this guy says, everyone knows that there's never been an oyster big enough to produce a pearl that could make these gates. What? God doesn't need. And by the way, could God make an oyster that could produce a pearl that big? 1,500 mile tall pearl? That's nothing to God. The point is, God can assemble pearl any way he wants. And by the way, all of these stones that he puts together, they are transparent. This is a divine work of the Lord. It is awesome altogether. So, keeping this in mind, point number five is found in verse 22. Our new home, our heavenly home, will be a place of worship. Worship in heaven will be direct. It says that there's no temple in it. I love this, church. Note it. Verse 22 speaks about the fact there is no temple in heaven. Why? We won't need one. We won't gather to church on Sunday morning in heaven. Why? Because God will be among us. We won't need to go into a temple. We won't need to, come on, let's go worship. You will be worshiping. And you know what? Those of you who will get this will get it. You don't need to wait until then. We can worship him now. We can walk in faith now. We can honor him now. This is the glory, listen, this is the glory and the victory of the believer. That you and I can choose right now in financial woe, in earthquakes, and in all kinds of things. That we can choose now to walk with God just as though our feet would join up with our hearts in heaven forever as it shall be. We can walk in the reality of heaven now. We don't have to be bound by the things of this earth. That's liberating. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because some of us may go home right now and find out our treasures on earth are broken. And you're going to be all bummed. I want to be the first to tell you. Put your treasure in heaven and rejoice in what God has prepared for you. Because heaven is where we're going. And we need to worship him. And we need to experience him in that glorious, glorious way. In verse 22, it says, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. I don't need to say anything more than that, other than this, that the Bible says, we who are Christians, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And the Bible says, do you not know that we are the temple of the living God? Then in heaven, our experience with God will be face to face. Point number six in our study. We're doing good. We're going to make it. Point number six, our new home, verses 23 to 24. Our heavenly home will be filled with light. Filled with light. I like that. I love the fact how little children will often say, Daddy, can you leave the light on? Look, I'm 46 years, seven, whatever I am. I'm almost 50. And Lisa, will you leave the light on? No, I'm kidding. But hey, you know what? There's something about light, isn't there? That blesses us. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that people who love evil, they love the darkness. And the deeds that they'll do in dark, they do it in dark so that nobody knows. And the Bible says that they will not come to the Lord who is the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. But men love darkness rather than light. And that verse there, love darkness rather than light, is the word agape. Read again John 3, verses 16 to 19. It's truly awesome. We will be in the light. Look at this. Heaven will be filled with light. Verse 23, Jesus is the light. The city had no need of the sun or the moon. Isn't that great? This is not the millennium. There will be a sun and the moon during the millennium. This is after the millennium. This is eternity. There'll be no moon, no sun, for the glory of God will illuminate it, and the Lamb is the light. Jesus said, didn't he, in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he will be the light of all eternity. So Christ is the light. Also, verse 24 teaches us that Jesus Christ is the focus. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory in unto it. And that is a wonderful thing to keep in mind, that all those who would have honor have now divorced themselves from honor and give God all the honor. They give the Lord all the glory. And then finally, we end with this. Our new home, our heavenly home, will have great access. Verses 25 to 27, we'll have great access in three ways. Number one, heaven's gates shall never be shut. Will you mark that? Verse 25, heaven's gates will never be shut. Answer to the, if we ask the question, why not? Answer, there will be no need to shut them. There's no evil there. Nothing's going to be guarded against. There'll be nothing like that. Heaven's gates will be open forever. Now, this is wild, you guys. You've got the city of God as a bride. The gates are open. And this is the, can I use the word headquarters? This is the headquarters, so to speak. This is God's house. But infinite is the directions that you can go and travel out from it. Infinite. And so if you think about this, emitting is this glorious light from this incredible city that is situated either on or above this new heaven and this new earth that you can transverse and translate throughout eternity, throughout an infinite space. This is amazing. In our imaginations, we need to think of that. The gates will never be shut, always open. Number two, heaven's glory will never diminish. Verse 26 says, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. This place will never be under threat again. You guys, it will never be threatened by Satan's antics, for he is gone forever. It will not be subject to any rogue angel that's gone nuts or somebody sinning and getting booted out of the kingdom. That's not going to happen. And finally, verse 27, heaven's guest shall never be afraid. It says, but there shall by no means enter in anyone that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Church, I want to repeat this and we'll be done with it. I've said it in the last several studies and I'll say it here again and we'll be done with it. Notice what the verse says right here. It's the Lamb's book of life. You guys know now what it's not speaking about. Remember, there is the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. Notice, everyone whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life need not fear. Why does it mention now, at the commencement of eternity, the Lamb's book of life? Listen, why doesn't it mention the book of life? Answer, that was already dealt with in the millennium a couple studies ago. The book of life had to deal with the conclusion of the millennium, the thousand-year reign. Those that were not found written in the book of life was because their names were not written in the Lamb's book of life. All those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life are written in the book of life, and their names shall never be blotted out. Did that confuse you? I hope not. Right now, every human being, their name is in the book of life. To get your name into the Lamb's book of life, which is the book of salvation, those that are saved, you need to give your heart to Christ. You need to have your name copied and pasted from the book of life onto the Lamb's book of life. Because if it's in the Lamb's book of life, it secures a place in the book of life. When you come now to the end of this chapter, chapter 21, all those names that are written in the Lamb's book of life, their names appear in the book of life as well. Question today, is your name in that book? Only those whose names are in the Lamb's book of life go to heaven. They're the only ones who see this. And we need to be talking about heaven more. You can close your Bible and relax until the next earthquake. Listen, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and pray, be in an attitude of prayer, but I want you to just kind of just calm down and just relax, and I want you to listen to this. Does heaven occupy your mind? Do you think about it? Have you chosen Christ? Have you called out to Christ? Dr. James Dobson tells of a story that he experienced at USC Children's Hospital when he was practicing there, and I've never forgotten it. He said in his story that there's this beautiful little boy that was dying of cancer, and his mom would come every day, spend all day with him and sometimes stay the night with him and read to him and tell him Bible stories and pray with him and tell him about Jesus. And the little kid asked one time, and now he's all ball-headed from chemo and he's struggling for life. The little guy asked, Dr. Dobson said, the little guy asked his mom, Mama, what's heaven like? She began to explain to him what heaven's like. And she used some of the things that we just studied here this morning. And he said, what does it sound like? She said, oh, there's singing there, and there's rejoicing there, and it's beautiful there. And this little kid had grown up down the street from a church, and the bells would ring on the hour at that church. And he said to his mama, he asked his mama, "Mama, will there be bells there?" And she said, "Yes, there's going to be bells in heaven. And you'll know all about heaven when you see it and when you hear the bells." And that conversation went on for months. And that beautiful mama one day had tucked her baby boy into bed and she had gone home. And about 5 a.m., she got a phone call. And the nurses said, "You better get down here now. He's not doing well." And when she showed up there, the staff was gathered around, and that little guy, and seeing his mama stand alongside his bed, this little guy, according to Dr. James Dobson, said to his mom, "Mama, I can hear the bells. I can hear bells, Mama." And that little guy died. And while your eyes are closed and while you're thinking, there's a family in this church who several years ago had their little daughter, Taylor. And Taylor was sick. And they had told her about heaven. And at San Antonio Hospital, Taylor had taken a turn for the worse, and they were flying her from San Antonio to Loma Linda University Hospital. And Taylor died. You know what she said to her parents before she died? That she had had a dream a few days earlier that Jesus had picked her up in a helicopter and had flown her to Disneyland. They didn't get Taylor to Loma Linda in time. Taylor, for her, that helicopter, for all her understanding, Jesus was behind the controls of that helicopter. She had had a dream earlier that Jesus was taking her to Disneyland. How do you tell a little kid about heaven? Well, you tell them about Disneyland, a magical kingdom. How does God tell you and I about heaven? By trying to describe to us things that mean something to us, gold and beautiful stones, angels, and light. Are you going to be there? It's your decision. It's your choice. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, that you would touch now this gathering of your people. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Lord, I pray that you'd move in the midst of us and that, Lord, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, when that earthquake came ripping through a little while ago, you use stuff like that. Lord, for some, it's what? For others, total fear. For some, salvation. We're safe.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Our New Home. Thanks for being here today. You know, Our New Home is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, just from the truth we've discovered in the book of Revelation, we can see how God's love is woven throughout every verse. God has an amazing inheritance waiting for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He wants you to know all about it. Salvation is only possible for those who give their lives to Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure how to go about that, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab that says Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll find the full meaning of what salvation in Jesus Christ is all about. There's even a way for you to email us and tell us all about your decision to follow Christ. Again, that's the tab labeled Know God, and you'll find it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.